the Rebel Room. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Ray Brewer and Mike Romala. And if nothing else, at least there will be a lot to talk about today. A lot has transpired since the last time we came to you, I think 2 weeks ago. UNLV basketball suffers a one-point loss to San Diego State on Saturday, with the second meeting against arch rival Reno coming up on Wednesday. Meanwhile, spring football practice underway. Brewer's excited about that one. Just a lot of other rumors and uproar, all kinds of stuff going on in the UNLV program over the last week. So, Mike, what's it been like being around the basketball team for the last 2 weeks or so since we talked to our listeners last?
Feels a little tense. It feels a little tense. The rumors got to the point where Marvin Menzies, before the San Diego State game, had to address it. He said that he had to go to his players in the locker room and gather them together, and he said, hey, how many of you guys have heard the rumors? And then when, you know, players put their hands up, he said, you know, well, don't believe it. It's not happening. Rick Pitino's not coming here, et cetera. And then he told the media the same thing later when he was asked about it. So it's something that's an issue that is very real to the team right now. It's affecting them to the point where the coach had to address the team about it. They say that they're putting it past them and that they're not really letting it impact them. The players said that as well. That stuff is sort of hard to know in the moment. I think in retrospect, you can tell whether or not it affected them. But they seem to, well, I was going to say they lost by 1 point to San Diego State, but they started that game terribly for the first 30 minutes. So maybe there was a little something affecting their performance. But I think you get a sense that the program there's some tension right now as the coaching room is start to heat up.
For me, it's just another example of how being the coach at UNLV is no easy task. There's these expectations from people who've been around forever, like myself, who think that every year needs to be a deep run in the NCAA tournament. And when it doesn't happen, you know, things get crazy. And every 2 years, the natives get restless. And if you're not winning, then all of a sudden, somebody who owns a casino is going to come up with some magical money to get a name out there that they think will all of a sudden do what Jerry Tarkanian did. And, you know, Marvin Menzies is witnessing that, full-on force. And, you know, it's going to cripple the guy because he's on tilt. And if they keep him, which we think he will, well, now all of a sudden his ability to recruit is not there because – everybody's going to say, oh, why go to UNLV and this coach who is a lame duck coach? And his chances of making it work at UNLV, like being the next Lon Kruger, which I guess is all you want now, is so marginalized because of what's going on, which to me is BS. You know, the guy came in, he knew what he was getting into, UNLV knew what they were getting into, and now all of a sudden, 1 year short of when he had to produce a winner, it's like, oh, let's go get the dirtiest human being that coaches and get him here. And, oh, who will pay for it? Well, some senile casino owner, right? Did I make sense
that
there?
That seems to be
I'm done.
A lot to unpack there, but I liked it.
These casino owners and these moguls and people that are this is all a myth, right? What's it like in the last 30? Like, when has in the last 30 years, when has one of these people stepped up and like paid the freight for the basketball team? The Fertittas, I guess you could say, for football, they built that practice facility. But for basketball, when has that existed? Like, in modern times, like they didn't step up and pay Kruger when Oklahoma made the offer, they didn't,
yeah. The thing when Oklahoma kept on Lon is, people said, okay, Lon got UNLV to a Sweet 16 and the four straight NCAAs or whatever, two straight NCAAs, but he can't go get the five-star kid. He can't go get the McDonald's kid. And Shabazz Muhammad and Anthony Bennett, you know, have UNLV on their short list. And Lon, he just can't recruit guys like that. And so when Oklahoma came in and Lon said no, when Oklahoma came in and Lon said no again, when they come back a third time and they offer him a boatload of money, people are like, okay, Lon did the most he could do for UNLV. He got him back to the tournament. They didn't get in trouble with the NCAA. Attendance was great. Now let's hand the rock off to somebody who could go get Shabazz Muhammad or Anthony Bennett. and he handed it off to CDR. And CDR was able to go get some guys who played in McDonald's All-American games, not like you and me, Grimala, who eat at McDonald's, right? CDR had a top recruiting class, right? CDR beat the number one ranked team in the nation, right?
Yes.
And now all of a sudden, here we are.
My question, though, is the boosters. We always hear that they're going to step up, and oh, this coach wants, Mick Cronin wants $5 million, but the boosters are going to pay it. And like it just doesn't ever seem to happen.
Rolly, that was the last time. Rolly got paid, and that was it.
I feel like the booster network for UNLV is either a complete myth and doesn't exist anymore these days the way people think it does, or they are completely disorganized and none of them know what they want and they can't get behind any kind of move or can't get in lockstep with the actual administration to make anything happen. So that anytime people start throwing that out there that Elaine Wynn is going to kick in $3 million to go get this guy or that guy, I just kind of dismiss it out of hand because when was the last time we ever saw that happen for UNLV basketball? But that's this could be the time. This could be the time when it actually happens and they go out and they get a big-name coach and pay him big money. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to give Menzies another year and go from there. I don't expect the donors to come in and make any kind of move like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to agree with you. I just think there is a lot of delusion all around guiding this program, from the name on the jersey meaning anything in 2019 to going out and getting Rick Pitino, which I never thought was going to happen, for the record. I just, so many times with this program, I just feel like we need a reality check.
A great question to ask UNLV fans is, what do you expect of this program? Like, what do you expect them to accomplish? Do you expect them to be in the NCAA tournament every year? Do you expect a Sweet 16? Like, what kind of team do you expect? Top 25 on a yearly basis? Win the Mountain West? What do you expect?
I can answer that question.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is a great question for
What would be satisfactory for you, UNLV fan? And then I have some follow-up questions.
I would say competing to win the Mountain West every year and making the tournament every year is very realistic. Maybe once every 5 or 6 years making it to the second weekend of the tournament. What also I think is an expectation is not being embarrassed like is the current state. Multiple double-digit losses, getting humiliated by Reno. Wait for this week, right? Follow up.
Oh, yeah, okay. So win the Mountain West on a yearly basis or compete to win.
Yeah,
so
be there in the top two, three every year.
Mountain West championship caliber every year and a Sweet 16 run, would you say, once every recruiting cycle?
Sure.
Show me the mid-major teams that have had that kind of success. Gonzaga.
Yeah. That's
Wichita State did it for a couple of years. Like, it's just, it's hard to do that as a mid-major program. And then secondly, if you can find the program that's doing it, what is that coach's salary? It's going to be way beyond
UNLV's
range.
Winning the Mountain West, I mean, winning the West Coast every year and threatening to go to the Final Four every year. I'm talking for UNLV just to finish in the top three of the Mountain West and to make the tournament.
Even that, for a sustained period, show me the mid-major teams that are doing this like year in and year out, just consistently good and Sweet 16 runs. And my point is, UNLV has a super, super high level of expectations. And you probably think your expectations are modest. Do you feel like you have modest expectations?
I mean, considering where they're at now, if you would have asked me this the day Lon Kruger left versus today, I mean, today it's like, thank God Boise lost the other day. UNLV might hold on to the 5 spot for the tournament, only have to win 3 times.
Listen, to an old school UNLV fan, competing for the Mountain West and making a tournament run every few years seems like a low bar to clear. But I feel like in reality, and for the rest of the country, that's an insanely high standard to meet for a mid-major program that's spending the kind of money UNLV is spending on basketball. So I'm just saying that they're kind of out of alignment in terms of what people are expecting and what the program can be expected to deliver in reality.
Once every 10 years, finishing the top 6 in the Mountain West and make the CBI.
You're going just wildly divergent. I'm totally 100% with Mike on this. And I was with you at first, too. I don't think it's unreasonable that UNLV can be competitive every year in the conference, given their resources, everything else. I think they can be competitive, but saying they need to make the tournament every year is where you're just going one step too far. That's just not the landscape right now. Be competitive in the conference every year. Hope to make the tournament. You know, be in contention every other year.
My kid's about to go in the third grade. The Rebels have never been in the tournament.
You said the expectations are to make it every year. That's really high expectations. The one thing I can buy that
UNLV should be at the top of the standings every year because they should bring in the number one recruiting class every year. That's the advantage they have over the rest of the Mountain West. They have pedigree. They have location. They have some kind of shine on their name. Even still, UNLV should be able to out-recruit the rest of the teams in the conference. They should lap the rest of the conference in terms of recruiting. So I agree with you there. They should be competing for the title every year. And maybe Menzies is the guy to get them to that level if you give him enough time. I don't know. But it's just the expectation of that's the bar. It just seems like if that's what you want, then I don't know if there's a quick, like, I don't know if there's a coach you can bring in that's immediately going to do that starting in year one. Like, anyone you bring in is going to have to sort of build up to that level, you know, unless you're going to bring in Rick Pitino, which none of us think is going to happen.
So you're constantly chasing your tail because every 4 years you're going to bring a new coach in and pay the other one for a year, so you're paying two coaches.
And you see, if you're going to say we're going to bring in a coach and give him 4 years, and if he doesn't win the Mountain West 3 out of those 4 years, that's not good enough. I just think that's setting yourself up for failure and to not meet the expectations. I mean, Marvin Menzies, at least you can say about him in the WAC at New Mexico State, he had the kind of success that you were asking for in the conference. He won that conference every year, either the regular season or the tournament. He's in the postseason pretty much every year. Maybe you just ride it out with him and give him a chance to get it up and running. I know people want to get back to that Lon Kruger level of success immediately, but the program is down so far. It's you're asking people. I know people don't think they're asking for much, but they really are asking for a lot when they say they want to win or compete for the conference title every year. So it's gonna take some time. That's just where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and I think lost in all this, and maybe this goes back to just having the expectations too high. I don't feel like this year has been a disaster. I mean, they've been disappointing. We said this was going to be a big year, but you're still sitting with 3 games left in the conference. 9-6, as Brewer said, fighting to hang on to that bye so they don't have to play in the play-in games. Just where they were going into conference, we thought this could be a lot rougher than it is.
Let me ask you this. I agree. When was the last time, Case, take this one out, Kamala. When was the last time UNLV football or basketball had a successful season?
Well, is the Heart of Dallas Bowl more recent than any of the NCAA tournament bids? That might be it.
Yeah. So I would say when Bobby somehow got hot with Caleb Herring and made the Heart of Dallas Bowl. What about UNLV basketball, Grimala? When was the last time UNLV basketball had a season that could be labeled a success?
I think that the Anthony Bennett year was exciting, but I don't think people would consider it a success.
No, they got embarrassed by Cal in the NCAA tournament.
A team that they should have killed by
they got embarrassed, and the worst part is the game was over 3 minutes into the game, and everybody was disappointed that year. Now, if we got to the tournament, we'd be throwing a parade. We'd name a street after Marvin Menzies. I can't remember the last time, maybe the last time we left a UNLV basketball season satisfied was when UNLV lost in 06 to Oregon in the Sweet 16.
That's crazy if it's been that long. I mean, some of those years where they were in, you know, in the 8-9 game or
satisfied. I mean,
yeah, okay, I could see it.
I mean, now that the bar's been lowered so much, we'd die to get killed by Cal in the first round of the tournament.
The frustration of a UNLV fan. I guess while we're on the topic, how are you going to get through this Wednesday game at Reno? Because it certainly doesn't look like it's going to be pretty.
I'm going to try to be busy during the game.
UNLV won the last time they went up there. It doesn't give you any hope.
The Martins didn't play. JoJo.
Oh, one of them played.
JoJo made 18 of 19 three-pointers. Right?
He did. He caught fire.
Okay, so Short and Noda are both catching fire, and the Rebels learning how to play defense, and Michael Buffer not showing up to announce the Reno team. I mean, listen, Reno's a top 10 team for a reason, right?
They are, but they have lost two Mountain West games this season.
I understand, but those closed-minded people would like nothing more than to beat us. This is like their Super Bowl. They'd rather win this game than win the NCAA championship. I just worry about Grimala being up in Reno without a bodyguard. They might see that you're from Las Vegas on your driver's license and you'd be ridiculed.
I don't think it's going to be quite that intense up in Reno. We've had no problems up there before.
Yeah, you've been going without me.
What are you expecting from this game, Mike? I got to say, I'm guessing that the Reno fans care more about a deep NCAA tournament run than beating UNLV a second time. So I will disagree with Brewer there. But I certainly don't see a lot of arguments you could make for UNLV doing much up there.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup for UNLV. They physically, they don't have the length to match up with Nevada's scorers or the
Jesus Grimala.
They don't.
With who scores?
With UNLV.
What's going on? They don't, I cannot believe the things you're saying today.
They don't have the length to match up with UNR's scoring on the perimeter. They never have. They won't in this game. If when Caleb Martin wants to shoot an uncontested three-pointer, he can do it at literally any time he wants to because no one can get a hand up to bother his shot. And that's just the way it's going to be. If he makes them, UNR will blow out the Rebels. If he misses them, UNLV will have a chance to hang around if they catch fire from three-point range. It's kind of one of those games. Everything has to go wrong for the opponent. Everything has to go right for UNLV, and then you have a chance. It's just the way it is. For UNLV, you've got to take your lumps. That's the way it shook out this year. They've got a great team. You've got an okay team. You just got to be better. You've got to get better until you're on their level. And, yeah, it's UNR does treat these games as a chance to, you know, strut around and sort of get their licks in for what they consider, you know, previous years of being treated like the little brother. They like being the flagship school of the state. They like to show up UNLV any
the
chance they can
most
get.
Most populous city in Nevada.
I know that's their argument though, and they like to show up UNLV any chance they get. They're going to take supreme delight in it. If they're up big, Musselman is not going to pull his starters out. They're going to play the entire game. They're going to try and score until the final second. If they can throw down an alley oop with 1 second on the clock, they will. That's the way they play the game, and they're going to take even more glee in doing it to UNLV if they get the chance. So. Yeah, it's a mental toughness game for UNLV. Can they go up there and withstand all that and persevere and sort of keep the game close enough where it doesn't get out of hand and the score doesn't get run up? You know, if you lose by, you know, 11, 12 and you fight all the way, that's one thing. If you get up there and you get blown out by, what was it, 36 or 40-something 2 years ago, then that's the kind of game that you can't take. The embarrassment that you were talking about earlier, those kind of games that you just don't want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
that's a bleak outlook. But what
I mean,
can you do?
Listen, I'll be in bed during the – as soon as UNLV hits a three-pointer, I'm going to bed. Don't text me. Send your story through to McCafferty.
What if they don't hit a three-pointer?
I
you're not going to be able to sleep.
That would be the worst. That's the worst possible scenario is that they go up there, lose by 40, and don't hit a three. And I know you're asking it. What do I care more about, beating Reno or the three? I'll take a three and a loss than a win and no three.
Really?
Absolutely. It's all I got, Grimala. That's all I have.
You'd have a road win over Reno.
Who cares? The season's going to end the same way. They're going to lose on Thursday in the Mountain West Tournament quarters.
How many? Yeah, but how many?
With or without the win or loss?
How many teams? How many times do you get to beat a top 10 team on the road?
Who cares? Like who cares? How many teams in the nation have hit a 3-pointer every game in the line's existence?
And the real who cares is who cares about that outside of
like
a group of like a few hundred UNLV fans.
There you
a lot
go.
More people are going to care if they beat Reno. I think that's a lot more pertinent to the program going forward than some historic streak
Case,
that has
no actual
meaning.
The thing I like
meaning.
About you is that you never are short-sighted like that. Look at the big picture for once.
Yeah, the big picture, exactly. This would be a win that I think could get some positive momentum for your program hitting a three and losing a big game would mean nothing.
There's a top 15 recruit, Kyrie Walker, from class of 2019, that UNLV and UNR are both recruiting. Do you want Marvin Menzies to walk into that kid's living room and say, hey, we just beat Reno in their own place. You know, we're catching up on them. We're even going to pass them if you come play for us. Or do you want him to walk in there and say, yeah, we got blown up by 30, but we hit a three-pointer?
This great streak that stretches back to when you were negative 10 years old.
I do like the streak. And don't get me wrong, I do love the streak.
The streak's cool, but I think it's crazy to say it's more important than beating your arch rival who has their best team of all time. I mean, that would be a big. I think it would be a big one if they.
I mean, Grimal.
It's a complete hypothetical.
All you got to tell Kyrie Walker is go to Reno, walk around, go to Las Vegas and walk around. Go wherever you want. Literally play basketball wherever you want. You want to go play in the South Gym for UNR? Go play in the South Gym for UNR. You want to play in an arena in one of the city's most, in world's most vibrant cities with a ton of opportunity? Go ahead and do it. Or do you want to play for whoever Reno hires for Musselman?
All right, well, I like your recruiting pitches, but let's end this on something be a little happier for you. The start of spring football. It's spring. Hope springs eternal. Some excitement about UNLV. You were
the first thing that Ray said when I walked in the office today.
Exactly. You're hollering about the Rebels. How are you feeling about football?
Well, I mean, how's Vegas Vic feeling?
Vegas Vic.
It's all we care about, baby. He's in. If Vegas Vic plays middle linebacker, we're going to a bowl game. Tony Sanchez's job is saved. Right?
I know I already said this to you guys offline, but I can never remember there being as much excitement over a UNLV defensive player in the 10 years I've been here than Vegas Vic, who made his debut today at practice. To what I hear are rave reviews, Mike.
Yeah, Coach Sanchez said he looked good. Vegas Vic himself, Vic Viramontes is the full name. He called himself Vegas Vic when he committed to UNLV. He posted a Twitter photo of himself dressed as the Vegas Vic sign. So that's where the name comes from. And he's like all in. He's embracing it. He likes the nickname. He's one of those dudes. He's sort of got the it factor. That sort of hard to define sort of star quality. Kind of you hope it rubs off on the rest of the defense. Just a guy who comes in and says like, "Hey, I'm good. We're gonna be good. Let's go out and get him." Like that's something the defense hasn't had in a long time, I feel like. You know, the overall talent level is the most important thing. They haven't been talented. Maybe they've got a little more talent now, but I also feel like it'll help to have someone on the defense who can sort of galvanize things and be like, hey, guys, follow me. You know, I'm the big shot, four-star, middle linebacker. I'm going to go make some plays. You're going to make some plays. We'll hold teams to less than 37 points a game this year, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that defense needed some Jimmys and Joes, and this kid's not Jimmy or Joe, he's Vic, and he's the best Vic we have, so let's go play.
Yeah, I think you got to hope that, I mean, he's one of, there's several other JUCO guys coming in that you expect are going to play big roles next year, and I think, as Grimala alluded to, I just feel like you got to hope a lot of those guys add up together to be a big talent upgrade because, I mean, UNLV's defense still has a long way to go. But if it's going to have a drastic turnaround, I think it's going to be some of these older guys stepping in immediately and leading the program into a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the Rebels for, you know, the next 30 weeks until kickoff, but it all goes down to the same thing. Is Rodgers going to be healthy and effective, right? And two, can they hold teams to less than 35 points a game?
Those are two big questions, and I guess you have the face of both sides of the ball now with Vegas Vic and Armani Rodgers. So it'll be interesting. Two more weeks of spring practice, I believe. Scrimmage at the end. What should we look for the rest of the way?
Well, it's spring ball, getting people on the same page. UNLV, they've got a couple freshmen who enrolled early and could see playing time. You know, a local kid on defense, a linebacker, Cal Beaudry, Courtney Reese, a running back, something that UNLV has not done in the past at all. Like Kenny Noblad last year was the first early enrollee that they've ever had playing spring practice. And so I guess that, you know, that's a trend that, you know, real football programs have. Like they do that regularly. So UNLV is sort of getting into that business. They've got some freshmen here. It's a chance for them to get their feet wet, it's guys who might end up playing big roles this year. So that's it's really for them. Armani Rodgers, you know what you're getting at this point. What you want to see from him, you're not going to see until the season. Vegas Vic, taking charge of the defense. Some of that can happen in spring, but you're gonna need to see that in the regular season as well. So just a chance to get your feet wet, get back on the field. Everyone's feeling physically good at this point of the year. And Tony Sanchez said they may have to make some cuts. It's the first time they've ever gone into camp with, you know, more than their allotment of players. So that'll be a new thing. And, yeah, just sort of the optimism was there. Armani Rodgers said a lot of it came from the comeback win over Nevada to over UNR, I'm sorry, Ray, to end the season.
I don't care. You can use either.
So he said a lot of it is just still there's a lot of residue from that victory. The team just came into spring with a really good feeling. They feel like that they turned a corner with that game. And so the spring is just about continuing that and prepping them for the fall training camp and then carrying it over for as long as they can.
Interesting. The cuts caught me off guard. Not that that's really going to be pertinent to anyone who gets the last roster spots, but I think that does really illustrate what Tony Sanchez has kind of been on. His big message has been, we finally have the numbers that we need now. And I think that's a sign of it, that you're not even able to keep everyone that's on the field right now.
Yeah, they've always had short rosters. They've never been able to recruit like a full recruiting class and have their full allotment of scholarship players. And this year, that's been one of Tony Sanchez's long-term goals. And he would talk about it, you know, quite frequently when we talk about roster building. But it's not really, it doesn't come to the forefront. Like, it's recruiting is much, you know, more visible. It's people aren't really talking about the end of the roster and how many people you have in for camp. But that's something that Tony Sanchez has been focused on for a long time, is just getting bodies in here and building that depth and just having a deep program that can compete with some of the other teams that they're playing against. So I feel like that's a big deal for Tony Sanchez. It's fun. Like, he's not going to be happy to cut people, but he feels like he's in a good position where the team has players to choose from. Like, they'll be able to. It's a good position to be in. You'd rather have too many players than not enough on the practice field.
Absolutely a necessary evil and something they got to be happy to finally have. Well, there's a long way to go till football, but we will be along every step of the way on LasVegasSun.com. You can check out all of Mike's coverage. And here on the Rebel Room, we'll try to get some more episodes cranked out as UNLV basketball heads down the stretch of the regular season. Three more regular season games to go before the Mountain West Conference Tournament. For Mike and Ray, I'm Case. Thanks, as always, for listening to The Rebel Room.